Deep in the heart of Appalachia, guys set out on a quest to create the greatest podcast.
Sorry, dude. I thought we agreed on the correct pronunciation of Appalachia.
No, dude. We've talked about this. We've talked about this over and over and over. It's pronounced Appalachia.
Listen, freaking angels and the women got together. That's how we got Bigfoot. That's how we got vampires. That's why we got all of this stuff.
These ancient Appalachian mountains that are literally older than bones. There's old entities here. When you start finding out more about them, they start finding out more about you.
Good Lord, sir. This goose has gone rabid. You think you're just going to run up with your little sword on the king of the goose squad?
Listen, the old entities of Middle Appalachia are unexplainable. They are eerie.
Breach.
And they are one of these things that will keep us, the hill folks, and the people who live in the area, constantly searching for answers. That they probably will never, ever find. And this is why we love Appalachian Intelligence.
Hey there, hill folk, and welcome back to Appalachian Intelligence. And Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. This episode will be dropping. You guys will be hearing this the day after Christmas. So we hope that all you hill folk had a fantastic Christmas spent with the ones that you love. We hope that Santa brought everything that you asked for, and we just hope that you had a great time, man. That's what it's about, getting together, loving each other, spreading joy, compassion, gratitude. Be thankful for what you have. I mean, I know Thanksgiving's past, but be thankful for what you got. So, with you tonight, your hosts, Justin and Ryan. Lance is on a little family getaway, but we have been hearing some really, really cool stories coming from his drive up and down, and we can't wait to talk about that on the show. So we'll just throw a little teaser out there and say, y'all wait, because there's some cool stories coming.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all know what we like to do here as we get these five-star reviews. When we get love, we like to show a little love back and appreciation for getting these. So we're going to read one of our most recent five-star reviews. This one comes from Two Hole Kentucky. And I'm not real sure I want to know what that two hole means, but I like the name. It says five stars, a couple hollers down. These old boys are scrapping with shadow demons while hunting for buried treasure where the old gods meet on this dark and bloody ground. Thanks for the first year of entertainment, guys. I could listen every day. Keep up the great work. So, Two Hole Kentucky, we appreciate that, man. And you're right. You're right. We're battling, brother. We are battling every day, but we're hoping that it all pays off in the end.
Well, Justin is, but he appreciates the prayers, pal.
Well, he never said he was praying for me. He just said it was cool.
Although I do think that was a demon in my dream the other night.
Oh, yeah. I think so. I think so.
I don't think I've ever had a dream like that before, ever.
You might have to talk about that one, because that's pretty trippy. Yeah,
maybe these guys will have information about him.
I need a little more time to analyze and get some more info on it, but it's pretty scary.
All right, go ahead. Keep.
Okay, so luckily for you hill folk tonight, it's not just me and Ryan, because I know when Lance is missing and we don't have a guest, sometimes me and Ryan just go off the wall and end up fighting more than we do actually having conversation. And I know that could get to be like, like watching Stephen A. Smith or Shannon Sharp and what you call it, going at each other on that.
Don't look, you y'all, dare compare me with Stephen A. That son of a he.
But luckily for you hill folk tonight, we have a couple guests on here. These guys are deep divers of declassified documents, connoisseurs in conversation of cryptids, solvers of secret societal shenanigans. We've got Declassified Dave and Slick Frank Sanders from the Hush Hush Society Conspiracy Hour podcast. Fellas, how y'all doing tonight?
Awesome. Doing very well. What an introduction.
Yeah.
That's top tier intro shit, dude.
Yeah.
Justin, he's really good at that. I say it every time he does it. He's really good at those intros, man.
Got all warm and fuzzy during that. That was a good one. Now it's I'm really happy to be here.
It's the holidays, fellas. It's the holidays. I can't ask my hill folk to spread love and cheer and me not do the same thing for the guests on the show. So, you know,
fair enough.
No, guys, it's and we're doing fantastic as well. We're really excited about having you guys on here. You know, Dave contacted me, I guess it's been a few weeks ago now at this point. And, you know, we just kind of opened up lines of communication and, talking back and forth and, started talking about, you know, just coming on doing an episode. And it's kind of like we were talking a little bit before we started recording. You know, we're always open to anybody. I mean, you content creators or not, if you've got a cool story, something that you enjoy discussing, talking about, we like to have this show. I mean, we want it to be an open platform. We want people to be able to come on here, speak freely, speak their mind, give their opinion, and just have cool conversations about weird crap. That's what we love, man. So we're super excited that you guys are on here. Before we dive in and start chopping it up about the weird or some conspiracy or, you know, wherever this conversation goes, because me and Dave, you know, we've kind of talked coming in here. We were like, let's just let it roll. Let's just see where it goes. Let's don't have, you know, specific topics. Let's just see where it goes.
I like that.
Plant the seed.
Well, I cheated and I took down a few specific topics anyway. And so I'll just lead the conversation there like it's natural. So it seems like I didn't cheat.
Well, I don't think you're supposed to tell everybody that if that's what you're planning on doing.
Well, it doesn't matter. I'm a terrible actor.
But no, guys, before we jump into it, why don't you guys let the Hill Folk know a little bit about yourselves, a little bit about your show, what you guys do. You know, again, before we start recording, I told you guys I really enjoy, and this is for the audience out there as well. First off, go check these guys out. Hush Hush Society. Just type that in. You'll pull them up. Go check them out. Go ahead and leave them a 5-star rating and review wherever you listen. And then go hit play. Because, you know, a lot of people be like, well, I ain't been it. Look, I'm taking this from Mr. Merkel himself. Okay. These guys have already done you a solid because they're putting out hours and hours and hours and hours worth of free content that you can just pour into and listen to and find whatever topic. And regardless if you like the way they sound or you like their audio or you like the topics and conversations or you like their voices or whatever it is that whatever reason you give a 5-star review, they're putting out all of this information that they're putting so much time and effort into. The least you could do is do them a solid for putting in so much work and making so much free content available. The least you can do is go give them a 5-star rating and review. So go ahead and do that. Go check them out. But now they're going to tell you a little bit about what you're going to check out.
Rock, you wanna kick that off, Dave? You want me to?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, sure. Well,
yeah, run it.
This is the two of us, myself, Dave, and Frank. We have one more. He couldn't make it. He's doing a special project that we've been working on with our show, Mystery Mike. And if you're into conspiracies and cryptids and fringe science, true crime, cults, we got a little culty today, record an episode that comes out soon. Check us out. Give us a listen. We've got a couple thousand minutes of audio that's on all the streaming platforms. And if you like to hear our sultry voices, then that'll make it even better for you. We also have other segments other than just our regular show. We have a Patreon, which has some gross and yet glorious segments. but yeah, if you like conspiracies, we have our regular episodes and cults. And if you like interviews with authors, TV personalities, we have the Declassified Discussions, which is a lot of fun to listen to. We just had some really good guests on. And if you like cryptids, we have a Cryptid Chronicles segment, which is like a kick back, drink beer, talk about cryptids and campfires and a little bit more inappropriate, but a lot of fun. But yeah, check us out. Every listening platform we're on, so it doesn't matter what you use, what your preference. We're a one-stop shop type of podcast. It's www.hushhushsociety.com is everything, merch, episodes, links to all our social medias, blogs, and we also have a Rockfin. We are on video as well, and that's also a link on the website for that too.
Sweet. Nice. Frank, you got anything to add to that?
Dave pretty much hit all the bases, I'd have to say.
Good. Sweet. Good. I'm glad. And I know that you said that we could call you Frank this whole time, but I'm sorry. I just can't do it.
You don't have to. Some people get a little bit thrown off by the Frank or the slick Frank, but I'm totally used to it. I'm totally used to it. Frank is a nickname that I was given when I was like 14, and it has stuck with me ever since. So it's like second nature to me at this point. I'm cool with it.
Good. Thank God.
It went with the aliases that we created with the show, because we didn't just want to be our normal names. In the beginning, the show wasn't, I mean, we took it seriously, but it was more of a joke. So we were more of like, oh, let's make the most ridiculous show name we can do and the most ridiculous things that we can do. And then all of a sudden, Mike is a Sasquatch, I'm a gray alien, and Frank is a washed up CIA agent. And we made avatars. And originally the show, we were supposed to be, we were supposed to have a Muppet band at the end that was playing music. It was just it's really ridiculous. And we're not Muppeteers. So that didn't work out, but yeah, it's a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun, and it's gonna get more fun too. I can tell you that, especially coming up.
Well yeah, that's something. Oh, sorry, Ryan. Go ahead, brother.
No, go ahead. You were too far into it.
Well, no, that's something that, you know, I really do enjoy about listening to your guys' show. Is the dynamic that y'all have. You know, it reminds me a whole lot of the dynamic that me and Ryan and Lance have on this show. You know, that when it's time to get down into the nitty gritty and talk business, you know, you can, and you can get that information out, and it sounds fantastic. You know, I learn a lot of stuff listening to your guys' show that I've never heard of. But then at the same time, you can laugh and joke and cut up, and the banter's there. And for me, that's what I enjoy about a podcast, is that genuineness that you can hear amongst the people in the conversation. Like, you know, I don't want to sit down and just hear somebody reading from a script the entire time, and it just sounds super professional and like a, you know, I like for there to be, you know, I like to feel like I'm in genuine conversation, or I'm hearing genuine conversation. And that's what I love about your guys' dynamic. Again, you know, it reminds me a lot of ours. And like I was telling y'all before we started, one thing about your all's show, one thing about your podcast is it's literally like three or four different podcasts in one. I mean, you know, they, like Dave was telling y'all, you know, they have the declassified interviews with these people, you know, that they dive into all this different conspiracy stuff. They have the cryptid chronicles that go into the cryptids, which, you know, we really, really, really love here on this show.
Oh yeah.
You know, they have a bunch of like different paranormal stuff on there. They have a bunch of lost history or altered history kind of stuff. I mean, it's no matter what topic you want to dive into or check out, these guys are covering it, and they do it in a way that's fun and upbeat, but still informative.
Yeah, I want to know who discovered the cryptid erotica.
That's Mike's baby.
That was Mike. Yeah. So actually, before we had even, but before the show was even a thing, I was probably like 16, and Mike and I had gone to a concert or maybe like a convention. We went to something together, like a state or two away. And we're on the way home on the highway. It's dark out. We're getting off the exit. And he looks over at me and he's like, "You want to hear something fucking ridiculous?" And I was like, I guess, sure. And he starts playing this shit over the Bluetooth in his car. And it's an erotica reading. It's a cryptid erotica reading. And it's about Mothman and this lady like totally getting dicked down by Mothman. And it was probably only like 4 minutes long. And my jaw dropped and I'm like, dude, what the fuck are you playing right now? I was like,
why is this on your phone?
Yeah, yeah. I was freaked out a little bit by it.
What was he Googling to find that?
I don't know how he found it. But he played it as like a joke. I think he found it, I don't know, maybe on Reddit or through some sort of meme page or some shit. But it's just ironic that a couple years later he was like, you know what, fuck it, we're running it, cryptid erotica readings.
We've got some good ones. He's written a couple. I think it's more fun to write them yourself. I wrote one that was really disgusting about the Loch Ness monster called Nessie's Neck.
Yeah, that was filthy. Yeah,
and I wrote it while eating dinner, like sitting at the table, just like noodling on my phone, which is really weird. But the best part is hearing Mike talk that disgusting writing back and knowing that he's recording this alone, probably in the dark, reading my smut. And that's the best part of it. It's a if you're interested, our Patreon is a literally
filthy
balls to the walls.
Oh my,
oh that's good. That is
Ryan
good.
I gotta ask, and I'm sorry if it's like sort of off the cuff, but it's something that I've been pretty interested in lately, the whole sleep shit and dream shit, stuff like that. And you had mentioned some sort of like demon type entity in your dreams. Do you want to touch on that at all or not really?
Yeah, absolutely, I'll share it. I've actually, if it is a demon, I was like, man, I wonder if I can invoke that bastard and figure out what he wanted or something like that. But I was, I found myself in like this basement. Like, it wasn't really a dungeon or anything like that. It was like a block basement. And like, I would hear all these different noises, like loud, like all kinds of people talking. And then all of a sudden you wouldn't hear that. You would just hear like a baby crying, and I'd be looking for the baby and I couldn't find it. But all of a sudden I'd realize this is a trap. I gotta get the fuck out of here. And I would take off running, but I'd always end up in this room, and this dude was standing and he was doing something, and he would never like come at me. He would just turn his head, and he had yellow eyes, and he would look at me, and he was always grinning. And like, if I ran to the right, I would come in on his left. If I ran to the left, I'd come in on his right. I'd come on whatever room I came in. It was the same room over and over again. And every time I would see him, I would just, I would be terrified. And I actually woke up screaming. Like, I've never done that ever.
You wake up like dead from your sleep, like in the middle of the night?
Yeah. Screaming. Really? And then I was shaking for a minute, and then like trying to figure out what was going on. I woke my wife up, my son come in there. He's like, is dad screaming? But like, I was screaming when I woke up. And then I was kind of sitting there for a minute, like realizing, okay, that was a weird ass dream. But
no, yeah, definitely freaky shit. You've never experienced anything like that before, really?
I don't even remember my dreams. If I do, yeah. I just remember that I've dreamt, you know.
More recently, I've remembered mine for like the longest time, years. It's like, yeah, I'd probably dream, but I don't remember it. And now I'm having more recently, more vivid. And I actually woke up screaming a couple weeks ago and was like, person was like, what the fuck? The hell are you doing? But I don't remember that dream, but I remember waking, I woke myself up audibly, which was who knows. Yeah. But it's really weird that I'm starting to dream, and then another friend of mine actually said, though, I'm starting to do my dreams, maybe these lizard people are actually trying to contact us now.
Maybe
we're getting
hey, you know, that's possible.
I did kind of compare him to Jim Carrey's character, The Mask. That was the vibe I got, because he did have a hat on. But I don't think the suit was yellow or anything. I can't remember the color of the suit, but I know his teeth were darker. They weren't like dirty. They were just darker. Because he smiled, a big ass smile, like a Joker smile. But you know, his face was just weird. And
it's like a sleep paralysis demon kind of sounding like the eyes and the grin and everything.
Yeah, it does. Like it sounds really similar to a sleep paralysis encounter, but it's so weird that it was in a totally different place, like a totally different location. You know, most sleep paralysis stories, it's in the people are seeing it in their room.
Yeah.
Like, this is so weird because it was somewhere totally different.
And he was looping.
Yeah, it was a constant loop. That's weird.
That's
crazy. And I was telling the other day, you know, I was like, hold on, let me analyze this dream. You know, I was just acting stupid. but like, I really think, man, like there could be something to it because I was just doing some just simple Googling right there. There's an entity, a yellow-eyed entity in Lovecraft's Cthulhu mythos that could take the shape of one of these big cosmic, you know, super beings, you know, these big giant tentacle creatures, or it could take the shape or in the form of like a man that had these yellow eyes. So that's weird. But also, you know, you hear these encounters of, you know, like the grinning man. You know, people see this entity that just has this way too big for his face grin, and they just feel this sense of fear and anxiety and all this different stuff. I mean, I don't know. It's just...
Justin, I've never heard of any of these besides Cthulhu.
You've heard of the grinning man.
It's a thing. It's
a thing. That's what I was thinking about when you were describing that dream. I was like, ooh.
Yeah, it's scary.
Is this before the movie Smile?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, well before. It's probably
actually that movie was such ass. I'm sorry.
Was it? I haven't watched it.
Yeah,
I
said that movie was ass.
You know, I thought it was good. I thought it was good until almost the end. And it's like they did this whole like really cool tied together storyline kind of deal. And then right at the end, it was like, all right, let's hurry and finish this. It was like me turning in an essay in high school. It was like, you know, I work on it for a little bit. My ADD starts banging. I get tired of it. And then I just finished it out really, really quick.
I'll give credit where it's due. It was like, it was an original concept. It had like some Friday the 13th vibes a little bit, but it was original. But yeah, it's super freaky when you come across some sort of entity or some sort of force in a dream, whether you think it's imaginary or not, that a large collection of people have experienced something similar in their dreams. And you start to wonder, like, why are so many people seeing this same shit in their dreams? It's definitely thought provoking.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it gets into the whole thought process of, you know, what are dreams? You know, what exactly is going on when we dream? You know, is it just our subconscious just replaying certain things I don't know, our subconscious laying out this play in our minds, or you know, is this like some form of alternate reality kind of thing? Is this some form of multiverse kind of thing? Is this memories that are coming back? Like it's super interesting just to get into the topic of what are dreams. You know, what are your guys' thoughts on that?
Mike and I were actually having this conversation on another show yesterday, where the dream state could actually be the real simulation. Like that's like, this is like your flip flop. Like us being awake and conscious right now might actually be just a different level of that state. And the one thing that's really weird for me that I've always thought with dreams, especially when you're talking about if you're encountering entities and you're not, you know, dabbling into, you know, psychedelics to actually make that happen, and you're just in the dream state, it's frightening equally on both ends for me, to being, if it is an entity contacting you in your consciousness and you have no control over that, that's frightening. But the other thing that's also frightening is it just a human experience that we all have the same experiences in that dream state? Because that means either one, everything's real boring and we're all dealing with the same level playing field, or are we all connected in that dream state? Like that's the matrix. That's the hookup. So I think it's all scary because it's like, because then it takes the individual out of it. And once the individual out of it, then your id, your ego, everything's gone. And you're like, what the hell is going on here? I'm just a flesh sack that dreams. I don't know.
That's an interesting point. The possibility of everybody being collectively intertwined in the dream state. And I only say that because I was at the bar like 2 weeks ago with my girlfriend and her sister, my sister-in-law. And I was telling my girl's sister about that interview we did with Vincent Field and like about astral projection and all of that shit. And she was like, do you think if you did proper meditation preparation and, you know, did whatever you had to do in sleep state, you could actually make your way into somebody else's dreams?
That's interesting, because I was just thinking about that while he was, I was picturing like lucid dreaming enough to where I could crawl out of mine and see what the old lady's dreaming about. Now I may not want to, but like, my God, I've never seen so many. But
I wonder if people have gotten into that.
I don't know, man. That's really interesting. I'm sure that it's been attempted at least. I'm sure there's some stories out there of people finding themselves in somebody else's dream and then coming up on them at a different time. Well, I mean, it happened in a SpongeBob episode, guys.
Oh yeah.
Hollywood has to tell us. They have to.
He kept ruining everything.
We're super close to that too with the Neuralink. Like, I know that everybody's saying, oh yeah, it might fix vision eventually, or, you know, people with ALS, and just the small incremental things to get people to get on board with it. But that's the scary part, is that once you have that in there, somebody can hack you. Somebody can actually turn off your, you know, I think we even said it, was it in Black Mirror, where they were able to turn the vision off, and that was like the prison, prison sentence.
Yeah. Yep.
So I think Mike had mentioned that last night, and I went to go find that episode today to be like, oh, that's crazy. But yeah, I think that's the next step. But once we start able to be, I guess if it's a chip, it'd be mechanically telepathic and not organically telepathic. But if we get to that point where we're reading each other's thoughts, then what's the point of any of it? That's where it gets crazy. Cause then if you're in like, just like looking, like you said, looking into someone's dreams, like you might not want to look in somebody's dreams. Yeah. That might screw up your whole well-being forever. And like, so it's like, I think us having the internal, it's probably connected. But I think having the skull keep us from each other is probably the best thing. But that Neuralink thing is freaky, because that's literally the way where you can literally probably absolutely control people or know the thoughts. Like thinking about, like, imagine being in a, you know, like a relationship that's completely failing, and you're just, you know, you're looking at your partner and they're like, this piece of shit. And you're like, what should I do? Like, you're just thinking their thoughts. Like, that's going to screw up humanity.
Yeah. Well, I mean, think about it. And I, you know, I'm not sure about, you know, your guys' spiritual beliefs or whatever. And it doesn't even really, you know, that doesn't matter. But, you know, like we talk about on the show, I don't hide it at all. You know, I'm a Christian. I believe that Jesus is who he says he is. I believe in the Bible. And you look back at the Tower of Babel story. Okay. And this is just what it made me think of. You had an entire race of people that spoke one language, that worked totally and completely together to try to build something to get to God, to get to this divine consciousness so they could usurp God. You know, a lot of people want to be like, oh, well, they was just trying to build a tower to get up there and hang out with God. No, they wanted to kill him. They wanted to usurp God. So what happens? God scatters the people all across the world, which is also my theory as to why you have pyramids in different places all at the same time, without any communication, because I believe that's what they were building. I believe that's what the Tower of Babel was a giant pyramid. It was a ziggurat. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. But you start talking about this Neuralink stuff. You know, we have a time and a place where humanity, however you want to place it, whatever that one language was, maybe it was telepathy. Maybe it was some form of ancient technology that you didn't have to have language. Maybe it was something that, you know, they were all able to use and communicate with each other. And it had to be destroyed. It had to be reset and started back up. And, you know, we talk on here a lot of time, really often about like ancient technology and all that different stuff. And you start seeing and hearing, and in my belief, you know, Jesus says that when the end of times comes, it'll be such as the times of Noah. Well, I don't just necessarily believe that he's talking about, oh, well, people are going to be real bad. People have always been real bad. People are people. I believe that he's talking a lot about the times, the technology, the ways that we become almost godlike. I think it's really interesting. I think when you get into this Neuralink stuff, you're literally talking a possible recreation of Babel.
Yeah, and we still do it too, especially within architecture. I mean, people still in modern architecture build obelisks and things that go up. I mean, just look at modern skyscrapers, you know, it's the ascension, you know, you're in those buildings. And I like your point with the all the pyramids. It's almost like they're just scattered across and recreating the original tower of what it would have been to do that. I think I've heard that once, but that's a really good theory in that. And it brings up a lot of the alternate history and it would be dangerous for all of us. And that maybe it's not everybody knowing each other's thoughts. Maybe the danger for the ones in control is the collective consciousness. So that is where you can really get, you know, not dangerous on our end, but dangerous on whoever's, you know, suppressing. Because once everybody unlocks, which we know the human mind can do many, many, many things that we, especially in altered states, you know, even with just meditation, without even taking anything, you can change the way you think and the way that you're perceiving our reality as we know it. So yeah, if you get however many people on board, because I don't know what study it was, but some scientist, some university studied some type of chart, the electrical electromagnetic fields on the earth and around on 9/11, and it was like super low.
Yeah.
And every year when it comes around, that it's like the ebb and flow where that energy drops because everybody's thinking about it. It's sad. It's, you know, and that could be just a weapon in itself to suppress, you know, us, because we were getting there. The 2000s, early 2000s, late 90s, it was a bitching time. And all of a sudden, boom, punched in the face.
Yeah.
And now we're on to something else.
Yeah, I distinctly remember when my friend said, "Why are you joining the military? Aren't you afraid we'll go to war?" And I said, "My gosh, we haven't been to war since what, 93? And then while I was in basic training, 9/11 happened.
Oh, God.
I was like, that's about right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you think about it and you just talking about the ebb and flow there, man, my mind is firing tonight, boys. This is awesome. But you're talking about the ebb and flow there. To me, I mean, that sounds, I mean, does that not sound extremely ritualistic?
Absolutely.
I mean,
Look at COVID itself, like the consciousness of a global lockdown, not even just the United States taking a hit, you know, and especially just like the area of New York and the families that were supposed to be either flying from California and Massachusetts, like just the local aspect of that incident. And now you take just all the lockdowns and everything. And I mean, you see it, you can see it in the behavior of people now. I mean, out here, it's a wild west, man. Like people are off the chain out here now. So
I bet.
I think it's orchestrated though. I think it's an orchestrated ritual. We talked to a lot of people more recently that we've met in this whole conspiracy podcast community that are very big on the occult and very big about the spiritual warfare aspect of what might be going on and probably has been going on for quite a while.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you just look throughout history. Look at, you know, it's like 100 years ago, the exact same thing happened. You had the Spanish flu in 1918 that lasted until 1920. You know, it was killing, like, people were like, there's never been a time in history that all this has happened. Well, yeah, it was just 100 years ago. I mean, you can see pictures of people wearing masks, you know, in their three-piece suits and their bowler hats, and they're the ladies in their gowns and their dresses that are just leaving their house and, like, looking around for, you know, make sure nobody else is around them to be able to go to the grocery store to get whatever they needed, and they're wearing masks. I mean, you know, this just happened 100 years ago. Well, what happened after that? Well, that led into a world war. It led into a Great Depression and a you know, global, or not global, but well, kind of global, but especially America, you know, a financial collapse. You look at all, and it's like everything is on a loop. It's like everything is just being replayed, that they can't come up with any, and I say they, I'm just talking about, you know, the puppet masters out there, who's ever's running this crap. It's like they can't come up with any fresh ideas. It's like, well, this kind of worked. You know, if we would have just done this one little thing, we would have had them exactly where we wanted them. So let's just go back and try this again, except this time let's do it this way.
Just, you know what I mean? Monkeypox. It didn't work.
Yeah. It's like Joe Rogan said, 98% of the people that catch monkeypox are involved in homosexual intercourse, and the other 2% are liars.
Joe. Good old Joe.
Oh, Joe.
God, I love that guy.
Gotta love him. Gotta love him.
Joe Rogan is the pinnacle of podcasting. So,
oh, for sure, dude. The Podfather.
The Podfather, man.
Say him and Howard Stern, maybe one other person, is probably the guys there, but he's the guy that is podcasting of what it is today.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure. I think we can all look to Rogan as a founding father. He's like our George Washington.
Make some new money in Joe We Trust. It's just him headlocking a former president.
Hey, that'd be great. Well, we've actually had that conversation on here before. I don't remember if it was on recording or not, but we've talked about how we feel like the world would be a lot better place if countries elected their officials based on that. If they had a disagreement with another leader of a different country, instead of sending all these poor folk out to fight their wars, if those two leaders got in the octagon and whoever wins, they get to call the shots. They get to make whatever decision.
We can't start that until Biden's out, because Putin would beat his ass. Okay. We're talking. Well,
that would be a beautiful world, but there's far too much money to be made in warfare.
Oh,
that will never,
goodness
happen,
sakes. Yeah, arms sales.
But yeah, that would be great.
Oh yeah.
I think that would change a lot of the way that elections look.
It would be at least entertaining.
Well, you wouldn't have 85-year-olds in office, I'll tell you that.
No, and here's the thing. The majority of, and I'm not trying to say this to sound in any particular way, but the majority of people that get in the octagon and they do this for a living and for fun, a lot of them, the majority think a lot like we do too. So, yeah. You know, I could roll with that. Yeah. I could roll with that.
It would be fun. It'd be a lot more fun to watch debates. I'll tell you that. It'd be like tuning into a debate pay-per-view, and you got Bernie Sanders suplexing Joe Biden. That'd be the craziest thing to watch. It's like,
oh, and out of nowhere, every other contestant just got Hillary'd.
They just put him in a hell in a cell. Screw the octagon. It's just tables, ladders, and chairs matches for these guys.
We'll sell you the whole seat, but you only need the edge.
Hey, if Ric Flair can do it still, he's like in his 90s now. If he can do it, they can do it. So, you know,
yeah.
Dude's looking rough. He's looking rough.
That is true. That is true.
You know what made me think of earlier, though, when you're talking about the Tower of Babel, I was like, you know what? I suppose the Giants couldn't build a ladder to heaven, but four kids in South Park, Colorado sure as fuck did.
Hell yeah, they did. That episode was banging.
Alan Jackson even wrote a song about it.
No, man, it is, though. It's really interesting to take that step back and look, you know, at the world around you and at the way things that are, you know, the way things operate, and just let your mind open up and wander and you know, take in all the possibilities. You know, I think there's so much that's out there. There's so much, and we're flooded with more information on a daily basis than I think we're supposed to take in anyway.
Oh, it's definitely not healthy.
No,
it's definitely not a healthy. We're supposed to be sitting in the woods and throwing spears at shit. So, you know, like that's us. You being on a subway with screeching noises and homeless people taking dumps next to you is not a normal occurrence for society. Yeah, our reality is far more interesting. But like you said, I think we actually absorb. In a day, or even maybe in like an hour or two, we absorb more information than one person absorbed in like 10 years in the early 1900s. You know, like,
yeah,
and even in the 60s, like you sometimes would have to wait, you know, for a magazine to come out just to read an article because you couldn't, you know, you weren't getting it through TikTok or, you know, Instagram reels or anything like that. And now we're just, so it made it so much easier to dupe everybody and to lure everybody in, because we're already like Elon Musk said it, I think we're already transhumanists because we all have the phone in our hands. We're just not physically connected to them.
Yeah.
So yeah,
that access to information, it really is a blessing and a curse because you can use it for good. You can learn a lot. You can enhance yourself as a human being with that access to all of the information in the world. But at the same time, all of that information is being used against you, your friends, your family, as well as the rest of society. So it's this weird yin yang sort of situation that we're dealing with.
And the information that you take as fact or as fascinating might not even be accurate.
Yeah.
So you could be like, oh, I learned so much. And then you're like, wow, that was a total
learned
lie.
So much about nothing. I'll never get that time back ever.
Well, there's what I'm talking about, like enhancing yourself, more so like skill based shit. Yeah. Like how to enhance yourself skill based, like more statistically and world news type shit. Yeah, you're probably being lied to. Most of that information is probably false, but you know,
yeah,
yeah.
Well, that's the thing. You know, that's just the mainstream. You have all these sources out here that, you know, the mainstream media, they can push whatever agenda that they want to. And there's going to be a certain percentage of the world that just decides, yep, they said it. So it's got to be true. So that's what I'm dying on this hill, and I will fight for it and defend these people with every ounce of energy in me instead of looking into any of this myself. And you know, I don't want to struggle with making my own decisions or having my own opinions. I just want to take in this narrative and regurgitate it on an endless loop to everybody that I come in contact with. And then when they disagree with me, I'm going to get pissed off about it and I'm going to rant and rave it. It's just, it's crazy, man. It's crazy.
The irony of the whole situation too, is that everybody's like you said, everybody's ready to die on their hill. But we're all climbing the same hill. It doesn't matter what side you're on. We're all going to meet up at each other at the top and be like, wait, and look around, you know, and be like, oh, you guys got duped with that? You got duped with that? What the hell is going on? While we're all fighting each other, they're, you know, Musk is sitting there petting his cat, you know, like, yeah, it's coming. It's coming, you know. You know, it's, yeah, the ease of access of information is, I mean, we can do this. We're doing this right now, you know,
with, right,
this,
yeah,
with that, you know, that's, I think that's stuff for good. But you can also, you know, and you can learn things. I mean, now some people that have, you know, $100,000+ in student debt, probably going to hate me for saying this, but now you don't need a college degree. You can learn most of your information online now. And, probably within the next 5 to 10 years or anything. And you're probably not even going to go to college. You're going to be doing classes just like this, like they've done. And that whole in-house learning, you know, Encyclopedia Britannica, you ain't, books are gone. And so it's just going to get harder to access the information that we've all been lucky to have for the last, you know, 25 years or so with the internet being around. So
yeah,
it's our, I've heard it said this is our Library of Alexandria that's just about to get torched. And so suck it up, people. Man. Take all the info.
Here's a question for you. Do you think, and I've heard, you know, I love Sam Tripoli, I love Tim Foyle Hat, and I've heard him ask this or talk about this a whole lot, and I think it's got some meat. Do you think the internet was something that got away from them?
Like we lost control of it?
Not we, but like, that, you know, CERN. Okay, CERN and DARPA, you know, they were the originators of the internet. They were, you know, first. Now, just me taking a step back and looking at the organizations, CERN and DARPA, and knowing the things that they're doing. I don't think that they were just being, that they were on the thought process of, well, let's create, you know, this big open world with all these just to give to the people. Like, that's just my thoughts on it. Like, I believe that it was created without much anticipation on their part or expectation on their part that the populace would grab it and be able to do what they've done with it. That a few nerds would take it and create all of this awesomeness that we're able to do, you know, to create what we're doing right now.
Or it was us, like, doing the work for them. It's all that's all the coders and programmers that originally, you know, were putting stuff on. You know, you go to a website, a .com website or a .net site from 1999, generally, if it wasn't Yahoo or Ask Jeeves or something like that, you know, like you were, there was an independent programmer that was putting those sites out. So it's, yeah, I'd say if it was created for us to get lost in it, it probably worked, but maybe it's just an illusion for us to have complete freedom of information. Like I said, reading some of the information you get on there, even in the conspiracy theories we talk about, there's so much conflicting information, you don't know what's true. And even between the communities, like we've been talking with flat earth people here and there, and they can't even agree on many things. They'll five watch two people fight over if it's a snow globe or if it's an infinite plane. And they're talking about the same theory. So we can't even get, you know, and then you have somebody like JFK assassination. They're like, Oswald did it. I know he did it. And then you have half the other people that are like, yeah, well, there's like seven other people that were probably involved. So,
yeah.
And then they're fighting over it.
Yeah. So
it's probably done deliberately, you know, literally just look this way, because everything else is going on around you. I think that's one thing I've noticed in the last couple of years is sifting through all the stuff and just being like, did this just happen naturally and organically, or was that, you know, thrown out there, you know,
right,
on purpose?
I don't necessarily think that the internet got away from them. I think whatever they intended for the internet to turn out to be is one half of it. I think they accomplished whatever goal it was that they were trying to achieve with the inception of the internet. And whether that's the control aspect of it, or the misinformation aspect of it, or the trapping of your finances, whatever it may be. But there's the other half of it that they may not have expected. And like I said before, the yin yang of the access to the information, that same thing goes with the internet as a whole in a broader spectrum. There is that light side to it. It's a lot of dark, evil, mischievous shit on the internet, morally trapping and spiritually trapping shit on the internet. But there's also a lot of good that comes out of it. Like I said, there are means through the internet that you can use if you choose to do so to better yourself as a human being or to get into support groups and help other people. There's online therapy. There's online rehabilitations. There's so many resources. And I think that's the shit that got away from them. Like you said, people being able to manipulate this tool in a good way, which I feel like doesn't happen enough. So it's kind of like hard to hyper fixate on it, but it's there.
You can make a really good beef Wellington for your family just by watching a YouTube video, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. I was going to say earlier, for an example, I am a YouTube mechanic. If I don't know how to do it.
Oh, same.
Yeah. I turn YouTube on and I learn how to do it.
I've saved thousands of dollars like that. Yeah.
Well, not just that. I got three kids and a family, so I can't afford to go if something goes. If it's simple, absolutely. No, I'm not going to rebuild an engine.
I did. It sucked. It sucked. Shit. It took days.
But yeah, man, that was just one of the examples I wanted to give. But earlier, you said, Dave, he's a washed up CIA agent.
Yep.
Yep.
So, Frank, do you know of or did you ever meet E. Howard Hunt, CIA agent? He's a former CIA agent.
I wish I could say I have, but no.
Do you know who he is?
No idea.
You don't? So he was a guy involved with the JFK assassination, and he made a deathbed confession to one of his sons about this. And he wrote down on a piece of paper, he wrote down names. Now, they ended up being other CIA agent names. But above these names in a square box, he wrote the initials L, B, and J. And then beside one of the names, he put Frenchman on Grassy Knoll. So,
I haven't heard of this.
Yeah. I'm getting ready to write up a story on this one too. We're in the middle of the Roswell episode I'm doing right now. I just did the first part about a deathbed confession from the guy, the PR man for the base at the time of the Roswell incident.
Yeah, we just did. Well, we didn't just do it. We did a Roswell episode. Man, was it about 2 years ago? It's about 2 years ago in an S4 episode, but so much has happened in the UFO or now properly UAP community with the quote unquote disclosures that are happening. What are your guys' thoughts on that with the research you've done more recently about all that?
Man, I'm convinced that a large percentage of these sightings are what our good friends over at Cryptid of the Corn called living UFOs, the fungus. So in our upper atmosphere, there's like over 4,000 species of living beings, creatures. Some of them look like jellyfish. Some of them look like manta rays. And some of them are bioluminescent.
I was just about to ask you if you've seen the movie Nope and what your thoughts were on that. You haven't seen that?
Uh-uh. Ryan hasn't seen it. And whenever we were talking to these guys, like there was 1,000 times that I just wanted to be like, talk about this movie, but I didn't want to spoil it for him. It made it really difficult.
I won't get into it then.
Well, have you guys seen that more recent footage of... It looked like a giant like jellyfish that was electrical charged static coming off of it. I don't know where what city it was in, but
Bikini Bottom.
We've talked about SpongeBob a lot here tonight.
On the jellyfish and the fucking rave.
Yeah. But no, man, I think it is like, you know, I'll agree with Ryan. Justin from Cryptids of the Corn, he totally convinced me that there's a small percent. And like he'll tell you, like there's no basis of fact on anything that he's saying other than the fact that NASA found 4,000 species of organisms living in the upper atmospheres, you know, above the ozone.
And that's just to date.
Yeah. So, like, I do believe, but and even he'll say, though, that's probably a small percentage. And you will hear stories of people saying that they saw this thing that looked like this manta ray and that was making these circular motions, or they saw these jellyfish looking things. And that's one of the things that have been identified in the upper atmospheres are these jellyfish like creatures. So I think that probably is a small percentage. I think that a way larger percentage is probably military technology, secret military technology that, you know, they're using, operating, doing trial runs, especially like the UFO sightings we have here in Appalachia. If you're going to try that and test this stuff out, where are you going to do it? Like, there's a reason there's not a whole lot of people in the city talking about getting abducted and doing all this stuff. It's always some redneck.
It's always somebody that sounds like us, damn it. That's why we get a bad rap.
Yeah. But no, I mean, we're better to test this stuff out. But now I do believe that there are a lot of these things that we're seeing. And I don't know where I struggle is I don't know if these things are off world, off planet, or if it's an interdimensional kind of, I don't know. Well, I mean, look, just look at it. It
could be both, you know.
It totally could be.
See, my question is with the military technology, where did we get that? Is that something that we developed? Was it something the Nazis had started developing? But where did they get it? Is the originating factor of that, is that from off world? That's a big question I've had, because they literally just admitted we have off-world vehicles, and nobody batted an eye. People were like, "Oh, that's funny. Star Wars just came out." Like, nobody cared.
You know? Yeah, nobody cared at all. Very strange. It was nuts. It was nuts that they start this disclosure stuff. Nobody cares.
Nope.
You know how many awesome drugs were being discovered at that point in time? Nobody gave a shit about that stuff. That was... What were they doing then? They were flower children. This is Woodstock. This is...
Well, going back into some of my beliefs and some of my theories on this stuff, and again, that's for me, that's all that it is. I know based on my beliefs in Genesis 6, you know, it says the sons of God came unto the daughters of man, bore children with them, and these men became the Nephilim, the men of renown. Okay, so according to that, that tells us, and if you look into non-canonical texts such as the Book of Enoch, you know, these things, talks about a war in heaven. It talks about a third of the angels going against God. It talks about God casting a third of these angels down to earth, casting them out of heaven. My belief is these fallen angels, what would have been known as the old gods, I think they're the gods that these ancient civilizations worshiped. I think that all the gods that you hear about, they're not fiction. They're not made up. They're not make-believe. They were real, and they were these fallen angels. I believe they brought technology with them. I believe they brought, you know, heavenly, otherworldly, other-dimensionally, you know, whatever you want to call it, technology. And I believe they taught people to farm. They taught them smith work. They taught them, you know, how to do herb magic and you know, all of these different things, you know, how to perform ritualistic sex magic, how to do like a bunch of this stuff. And again, architecture, you know, mathematics, geometry. I believe there was a form of technology here from the beginning almost that we today are still trying and struggling to get back to. Now, that early technology and these, and again, this is just my beliefs. I believe these fallen angels, I believe they still operate. I believe they still give information. I believe they're still in the ears of a lot of these world leaders and, you know, behind the shadows operatives that are running these things, and they're still delivering technology. I believe they're still trying to say they have an agenda. They have a plan that they want to see mankind stumble and fall, because we have been given the title as sons of God over these beings because they screwed up way worse than we did. So they're pissed about it. They've got an agenda, but they're not going to show their hand. They're not going to say, hey, we hate you. They're going to say, hey, I have all this information. I have all this stuff that I can give to you. All you need to do is worship me. And you can go back through ancient times. You know, you look at all the talk and all the conspiracy about these child sacrifices and all this different stuff going on. And you know, you hear stuff like Bohemian Grove and you know, all these different things, you know, Pizzagate, all this different stuff. But then when you start looking back through ancient history, you find out, hey, there was this old god called Moloch that people sacrificed children to for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. So, yeah, I mean, it's not a new concept, and it's not far off to think that these old entities that people worshiped and bowed down to receive information, whatever kind of information that may be, or power or influence or fame or fortune or whatever. I think it went on in ancient times. I think it's still going on today.
There's definitely continuity there too with them. Most of these ancient cultures, all one having similar architecture, lots of people like one, you said pyramids, similar type of megalithic architecture. And then two, very, very, very big continuity between serpents, lizards, dragons, you know, the devil, you know, all anything that has to do, you know, that is kind of reptilian. And then, you know, having us kind of battle it out throughout the ages. But the big battle, like you said, the sacrifices, that I always think about, is that an inherent human thing, or is that something, because every sacrifice that you've seen it happen, whether it be the Aztecs, you know, sacrificing thousands and thousands of people, it's always to a god. So Is that inherently human, or is that something that's infected humanity throughout the ages? Because we're as a society now, yeah, we have wars and conflicts and people are getting killed, and it's wild that that's still happening. But we're not sitting here having major sacrifices, or are we? Is it still different? Like, we're not just putting somebody on the altar and ripping their heart out with a stone dagger anymore. We're killing people maybe with a bioweapon, or even 9/11 itself. That's the newest one I've heard. 9/11 itself being this massive, massive mass ritual of sacrifice. And not only with life, but with the energy as well. Yeah. So yeah, it might just be inherently human, but I don't believe it is. That's my thought. After seeing all of it over and over and over through the ages, it's like we always do it for a reason and not for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And that reason is always based on, you know, it's always done to a deity for some kind of gain, whether it be, you know, for the crops to grow well, you know, this time, or harvest to be plentiful. You know, it's always happening around the solstices, the changing of the season, which is also ritual. You know, like, it is, it's interesting to think about. And I guess that was a really, really, really long answer for me to say, you know, just the government side of the technology or the whatever. But I do believe that there are entities out there that are probably, you know, that they operate in the spiritual realm. You know, I'm not one of these people that, well, I believe in God and I believe in the Bible, so everything's a demon. I don't believe that. I believe that there definitely are demons.
Get out of here, devil.
I believe that I fight them sometimes. But I also believe that there's a lot of things out there, man. Like, I believe that the God that I worship is so far above my ways of thinking and understanding that, you know, obviously I can question what he's doing and all this different stuff, but I have no idea what he's created or what he's allowed to create, you know, other things. I mean, just based on everything that I was saying right there, you know, fallen angels came down here that he kicked out, and they created a whole different breed and species of all kinds of crazy crap. Giants and chimeras and, you know, all this different stuff. So if I'm going to believe that, well, how can I not believe that there could be extraterrestrials or you know, Bigfoot or Nessie or Mothman or all these interdimensional entities that, you know, top physicists nowadays are saying, hey, we probably have multiple universes surrounding us right now. We have no idea how they operate. We know that we have quantum computers that gains information from dimensions, other dimensions that we don't understand or know where it's coming from. We know nothing about this, but we know that it's probable. So, I mean, if we...
By all means. But it's always baffled me when somebody is like heavily religious, you know, they go to church every Sunday, so be it. But they like can't wrap their head around what if God had created some other being, some other intelligent organisms that weren't human, and then also acknowledge the fact that just because that may have happened doesn't necessarily make it angelic or demonic.
Right.
I used to have this discussion probably twice a month with one of my old bosses, and he could like never wrap his head around it. And I wasn't trying to convince him, but I was just like, I guess, looking for his reason as to his belief, and I never really got one. But nor do I need one. Nobody needs to explain themselves.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, that's the thing. And that's actually something that we talk about on here all the time, don't we, Ryan? About the modern day church's view of the paranormal and the supernatural, and how it's always just like, well, that doesn't exist. That can't be real. It's not, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I didn't hear this sermon on Sunday. Dude. If you read the Bible and believe the Bible for what it says, you're reading the most supernatural book that's ever been written in history. First off, it was written by dozens and dozens and dozens of different authors with the same streamlined message over the course of hundreds of years. That's supernatural in itself. Okay, if you believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you believe that God came to earth and walked the earth and went to a cross and took on the weight, bared the weight of the sins of the world, came down off that cross, was buried in a borrowed tomb, resurrected 3 days later. While that time he was resurrected, he actually went to the abyss, to hell, with the keys in a victory speech and said, hey, y'all, you thought you got me, but you didn't. Preached to the souls there, ascended back to the Father in heaven, and is now sitting at the right hand, being the counsel for us, you know, being our legal advisor there. If you can believe all that, and okay, if you say you're a Christian, that's what you believe. That's the most supernatural thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
It can go hand in hand with, you just told the story of how the Galactic Federation started. You know, I mean, that's really, if you're talking about chairman sitting there and the guy who was able to ascend, descend, talk. So I think a lot of people get stuck. And I know quite a few people that get stuck, especially with the religious aspect that Jesus could have possibly... he was just human, but they call him the divine. That's not a human trait. So if we're talking about something that's divine, or, you know, you're talking about angelic, you're talking about something that's not of where we're us, you know, pink monkeys are running around on earth. So it's an interpretation thing. There's a lot of people, if you believe that he was just a white guy in the Middle East with long, flowing, beautiful hair, then that's cool. Could have been the coolest dude. He's smoking fucking DMT. Like, what up, guys? We're doing this. And could have been that, or could have been an extraterrestrial that we, just like the gods that everybody worships. It's there. I think there's a difference in our society now where people we don't have the supernatural aspect, like you said. I think we lost that. And that might be part of the technology, like you said, too, is we lost the supernatural aspect to believe in something higher than us. Because right now, as humans, we don't think our shit stinks. We're, you know, we've been at the point for hundreds of years where I think we explained it in Roanoke, where we came over and we, you know, you come see a tribal nation that's there on one side of a coastline, but you have, you know, the English on or the Spanish on the other, and they're right, you're wrong, so we just wipe them out. It's happened time and time again. So I think we have a problem with our shit not stinking. People have to think a lot deeper than just being like, okay, this was just a guy that this happened to. If this was an actual entity or a being, this was a special being, because, you know, if I could resurrect some people that have died, I would do it. So
for sure.
That's my thoughts. I'm not insanely religious. You know, I come from a religious background, got confirmed, but that's always been my thought on it is, there's gotta be something to this guy other than just the materialistic, you know, monetization version of it, where you're, you know, like the white guy with the beard in the middle of it.
Yeah.
So
I don't believe that part. I don't believe.
No, but if he wasn't in the middle, could have been one of them Nordic aliens. I mean, you're talking
could
about
it. Totally been.
So
could totally be.
So on the subject of Jesus and my dream earlier, I'm riding with Ashley. We got to meet this girl for something Ashley bought. And we're on our way up there. And I was talking about that dream. I'm like, man, I just wonder what that was, you know? And she's like, well, she told me straight, Damon. She's like, you got to invoke the name of Jesus so he can fight this battle for you. And all I could only laugh because, of course, my gummies are kicking in. But at the same time, all I could think about was like the octagon lighting up and ding, 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 ding. And then John Cena music coming on and Jesus is whipping ass.
Yeah.
That's too good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So nah, that got me cracked up, and I was like, "Oh, it probably won't help me now."
You know, and I didn't mean to turn this into like a religious, you know, I didn't mean to turn it into a Bible conversation, but I think, you know,
I dropped my crayons over there.
I think that's what's really, really cool though, is you can look at all of these things, no matter what it is, with such different light and from such different perspectives. And I think that it's important that just because I believe this, you may believe something totally different, and Frank may believe something totally different, and Ryan may believe something totally different. But I think it's really, really, really important that we all get together and do exactly what we're doing right now and put all of those opinions on the table and pick pieces from each of them and say, okay, well, yeah, this makes sense. Okay, here's a connection here. This could be possible. And you know, I think that's important. I think that's what's wrong with society. We talked about it earlier.
Yep.
If you don't believe the same way I do, then you're wrong and I hate your guts. That's not the way that it should be, man. Like,
hey, by the way, do you know the point in America when it became left against right, not just about who the right person is and all that? It was Jerry Nixon's time. And guess who else was there during Nixon's time? E. Howard Hunt.
You're really on this E. Howard Hunt thing, ain't you?
Dude, I'm telling you, in light of recent events with Tucker Carlson going on Fox News. Now, listen, guys, I'm not a Fox News guy. I'm not one of those people. And I don't like Tucker Carlson. However, for a mainstream media to say it has been brought to evidence that the CIA had a hand in the JFK assassination.
Oh, absolutely.
And now, you know, I'm just discovering this deathbed confession from this CIA agent who names names and everything else, basically saying LBJ was the dude that called it.
Didn't
that parade? That parade was supposed to be in Miami. LBJ changed it to Dallas.
if you're setting up something like that with the buildings and the way you can hide around it, you know, that makes perfect sense. I think we did cover that, and we did a two-parter on JFK. It was our first couple, I think it was our first third or fourth episodes. And I think we did talk about LBJ being a big part of it. We got into like the mafia and, you know, parts of that, but that's got their hands with the CIA as well. But one thing you mentioned, I know we talked about the religious stuff, but it does kind of go hand in hand with the Roswell and stuff and the disclosure, because there's a lot of rumbling in the conspiracy community. A lot of people obviously have talked in multiple places, the spiritual aspect of things and the spiritual war and that, but the New World Order, Project Bluebeam, those types of things where I've seen a lot of people say, well, they're going to create an alien invasion, not only to get everybody unified under one world government, but one world religion. And then the second coming of Christ. Yep. So there's a lot of that in a lot of on one side of the argument. And then there's the other side that's, oh, well, we're just setting up to fight aliens, even though they're not really nefarious, but we just need a new war. So it's
I wonder what the one world religion would be.
Well, so that's kind of what I was just wondering. It never really occurred to me. I mean, like we've recorded a Project Bluebeam episode, and this thought never really occurred. So I'm just going to ask it anyway. So they staged the fake alien invasion, right? And then we have the second coming, which at that point, I'm guessing if they're staging the second invasion, they're going to stage the second coming.
Yeah, that would be part of that technology.
So you have destroyed the fabric of modern religion on Earth at that point. You have shattered tons and tons of households, you name it. Are they just going to keep projecting Jesus Christ in the sky every Sunday after the second coming? Like after that performance show that they're going to put on, like then what?
Well, here's my
who's not going to question that.
It would be so hard to question that, because even if they put a live extraterrestrial on CNN, people still wouldn't. They'd be like, "Oh, that looks good. That's good CGI." And nobody would believe it.
Well, here are my thoughts on it, and here's how I think you really, really, really shake up everything. In that projection of the second coming of Christ, because you're still only talking about a certain percentage of the world that, you know, believes in a second coming of Christ.
Yeah, but the rest of the world that believes in something else, that just screwed all of their lives.
Well, see, here's what I'm thinking. If you have the technology and the availability and the opportunity to stage, however they do it, holographically, you know, drones, however they do it, Neuralink. Yeah, I'm just make you see it. However they do that. What if all of these entities that are worshiped today, all of these gods, all of these, you know, whatever, if you have all of these things show up and then just start combining into this, you have certain traits and characteristics and aspects of each of these gods, and they all come together and they say, well, this whole time, you know, your book was right, and 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 we are all the same God, and we are all the same supreme being. Our people just worshiped us and had different thoughts and ideas and all this. And then they just, even if they don't, and I'm picturing, you know, the Power Rangers in my brain right now, all just coming together as Megazoid or whatever. Like, you have all these entities, and they just, boom, they come into one divine supreme being, and they say, you know, yeah, of course, that's going to shake up a lot of people's faith. But what else are these people going to hold on to at that time, especially if they've faked an alien invasion, especially if there's some form of like financial global collapse going on, if there's natural disasters going on, if times are so bad and so hard that you're just like, man, crap. What am I going to do? Like, I don't know where I'm going to get my next meal tomorrow. And then all of a sudden, you have this second coming, but it actually being just a combination projected of all of these divine beings into one and telling the whole world, every religion out there, that we love all of you. We're here to take care of all of you. All you have to do is worship us and listen to us. Now, in my personal belief, I believe that'll be the coming of the Antichrist. In everybody else, you know, whoever is not thinking the same way that I am, well, that's going to be the God that they worship. And even if you don't worship a God, times are going to be so bad if they want it to be at that time, you're going to start worshiping if you want to eat tomorrow, because then you're going to have the world leaders and probably, you know, as they're all coming together, they have your finances. They have control of everything you own. You know, you're not going to own anything and you'll never be happier. You know, you're going to be eating bugs. You're going to have this set up. I believe now you're going to have this set up to where people are going to feel like, okay, I don't have a choice. This is what I have to believe and put my hope in, because I have to put my hope into something. That's just my thoughts on it.
I think we just had a dress rehearsal with that, with the COVID and the vaccine rollouts and all that other stuff. I think it's you know, you're forcing the hand. You literally took everybody's livelihood away by locking them inside. And, you know, I think I said it yesterday in a conversation. I've never been in a situation in my life where somebody was like, hey, guess what? And it wasn't your boss. It was the government saying, you can't go to work tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And how are we going to pay our bills? I don't know. We'll figure it out later. You know? And then the push, where there's many, I mean, there's probably so many people that have, you know, that have gotten however many of those shots and didn't really believe in it, but they were like, well, this is for the greater good, and they got the and then there's obviously the people that was like, okay, well, if you don't get this, you lose your job. And that's the problem that I had with it, where I was like, this is crazy. You guys are literally going to tell people you can't go to work now. So yeah, I can see if you get them into you know, if there's nothing else, if it's literally to the point where you have the technology where people that don't believe now believe, then, you know, it's almost like, oh, well, your prayer credit score right now is a little low. You ain't eating tomorrow, you know? And so, and they'll be able to, you know, if you have the Neuralink, they'll know, oh, well, you know, he's looking a little depressed today. Let's drop him down 2 points. He ain't going to eat, you know, but he doesn't believe in that. And that's a good way. That's the fastest way to cull the people you don't want, is to be like the resistors, the people that are like, well, no, I don't believe in that. That's definitely Starlink, you know? And we'll be the first ones to go, because that's how we're going to be.
Oh, for sure. We'll be shipped off to the gulag real quick.
You bring an interesting outlook to the table, though, about Bluebeam. So you're saying the staged second coming of Jesus, or this projected culmination of the world's gods being the Antichrist, the coming of the Antichrist. Would that imply that you would believe that the staged alien invasion, that would be the precursor to that, to actually be some sort of rapture?
Possibly. Well, look at it like this. What if there was a real alien invasion and a whole bunch of people got abducted? People could just turn around tomorrow and say, the church just got raptured. So, I mean, it's so hard at this point. There's so much information and so much questioning and so much distrust out there that you really don't know. I mean, you really don't know. And I'm saying this as a Christian. Mm-hmm. If tomorrow there were millions and millions of people that just up and went, you know, just vanished, missing, but I seen in the news that there was like thousands of UFO reports at the same time, the same date, I don't know which one I'm going to believe. I don't know if I just missed the boat or if I missed the boat.
Well, just message me, and if I'm gone, it's aliens.
You're standing outside, take me. Like,
touched on the fact before with the cryptids and corn guys that God could possibly be a mushroom, but it's not okay to lick him.
Well, the stoned ape theory is a really interesting.
Thank you, declassified Dave. I've said that a lot.
Well, like you said before, with the there are explanations. Like even you know you can interpret it like the burning bush, for example. I mean, that I believe in that area, the acacia plant is very, very, very abundant. So if you burn half the side of a mountain, have a wildfire, and you're like, you're probably going to get a little bit of intake, and he could have been tripping. I think a lot of people, no matter what time period and what they wrote, we're humans. We've done drugs forever. So oh, for sure. And that definitely helps. So like the stoned ape theory is really interesting because of the, you know, you kind of have, I'm going to butcher some of it, but you know, you have like the connections with the apple and the forbidden fruit. And that's, you know, the tree of knowledge. So you're dealing with stuff like, and that could be a big reason why we're still suppressing things like psilocybin, and it's just kind of coming out. Like marijuana's just starting to come out in like the mainstream. And unfortunately, you know, once those pharmaceutical companies get a hold of it, it's going to be brick weed. But, and that's the nervousness with the psychedelics and, you know, and the mushroom itself. So it's well, that specific, you know, species of mushroom that we're talking about. But yeah, that's I mean, somebody could have just had a trip, but it was real to them and might have been real to other people. Like I said, the collective consciousness of every, there could have been people having the same experience dealing with all that stuff.
Do you ever wonder if when people are having those DMT trips and they say they go to these other places and like Ari Shaffir said, he had like a family and friends and a job and all that. Do you ever wonder?
Salvia or something like that?
Yeah.
Ripped. He like had like an 8-month life.
Yeah. It destroyed him.
Do you ever wonder if the people he's interacting with and there are also on the same trip and that's their experience too?
Could be.
It definitely could be. I would say that's just as valid as any other theory as to who those people are.
Yeah.
That's something I've thought about before. I can't believe it just came back to me. How lucky are we?
Well, no, man. I mean, I think you get into the realm of psychedelics and hallucinogens and all that stuff. And, you know, just back to, it seems like we keep harping back on the whole religious concept, but they've been used in religious rites and rituals for thousands and thousands of years. Like, mm-hmm. you know, it was there was a time that monks and priests and, you know, all these different people, it was an extremely important, you know, it wasn't just like, oh, I'm going to do some shrooms and go to the club or, you know, whatever. It was a specific way to take these and be in the right mind state, you know, through fasting and prayer and meditation and all this different stuff to talk to gods.
Entities. We don't see it the same way nowadays. People don't see it as it's just magic.
Yeah.
Really, it's arcane magic.
Yeah.
You know,
we're just talking to fairies. It's just fairies.
If you're creating substances, you know, and you know, you think about if you play like obviously like Skyrim or something and you're sitting there and you're making all your potions, like that is the same thing of what we would do with drugs. It's the same thing we do now with anesthesia and, you know, just LSD would, you know, like stuff that's just out. I mean, look at it. We've created a type of pain medication that takes micrograms of it to kill thousands and thousands of people in this country.
Yeah.
And that's still magic. So that could be ritualistic in itself, you know. It's I think we, like I said, it's all goes down to interpretation of, it might be simpler. Everything might be simpler than what we think. And I think we cloud it up. And
oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So it's, and I mean, even these new vaccines could be magic. You know, there could be a switch in 3 years and all of a sudden everybody's, you know, people in it might not necessarily die, but they might, their whole continent might turn on the Project Bluebeam or whatever. You know, you can go real down that rabbit hole. 5G activates, 6G activates, and all of a sudden everybody's just you know, a robot.
Look, you know, all I know is every zombie movie or show that I've ever watched starts with a terribly failed vaccine. Okay. Yep. That's all I know.
What was it? Dead Rising, I think. Dead Rising. You get into like the elevator at the beginning and there's the poster for the fucking vaccines.
Yep. I'm Legend.
They did it in the movie Outbreak from the 90s.
Yep.
Which they actually talked about coronavirus in that one. That was
right.
They had it right in that he opened up the cooler and you see it. I don't know if it had 19 on it, but it said COVID right on it. And that was a 98, 97, that movie, something like that. Maybe even a little
freaking
bit earlier.
Hollywood, man. They got to put it out there. They got to show you.
That's why I think the disclosure thing could be BS. It could just be a setup, just like everything else. The one thing we did find about Area 51, I don't know if you guys found this, but if you more recently, somebody got some aerial footage of an obelisk, a pyramid, and the Eye of Horus on near the tarmac of one of the bases in Area 51. And that's perplexing.
Yeah, it is.
What was that comment I was laughing about? The one dude that worked on there, he's like, that Eye of Horus shape building is like maintenance or something like that. But what was it? Oh, it was the one below that. He said that obelisk was actually a radar tower that could track something the size of a hummingbird for so many miles. Like, it was a ridiculous amount of miles. Like, but it could track something the size of a hummingbird that far. And the comment below that was, but can it tell why kids love Cinnamon Toast Crunch so much? And I just remember that commercial of those old people with the magnifying glass, and I was dying.
Well, I think even the Eye of Horus thing, you know, there is really interesting because, you know, we're talking about psychedelics. So what is psychedelic, or what do people think psychedelics do? It opens up your third eye, right? Your third eye is your pineal gland. What does your pineal gland look like? It looks exactly like the Eye of Horus. Okay. Why do they call the Eye of Horus the Eye of Horus? Well, ancient Egyptians, obviously, mummified people. So they were taking out body parts and organs and all this different stuff. I'm pretty sure they've probably split open a skull or two and seen a pineal gland and what that looked like. And they thought, oh man, when we take this blue little flower and we start tripping balls and talking to our gods, we're seeing out of this. And this is, it's so interesting, man. Everything, when you really start digging into it, everything's connected. Like,
well, it makes me wonder, because at the time of death, the pineal gland actually releases DMT naturally into the body. And it makes me wonder if they were able to detect that somehow and then discover DMT.
It's possible, man.
Well, I mean, maybe it could be as simple as, you know, whenever they took their spiritual religious type drugs, they were seeing people's pupils dilate entirely, and then these people are dying in front of them. They're watching these people die and their pupils are dilating all the way, and they just sort of drew some sort of connection there.
Yeah, that could totally be it too. Which, even that, you know, just the creation, or not the creation, but, well, yeah, really it is, but the finding of DMT, like, it's just not just like a natural thing that grows. You have to mix. It's a weird combination, like the bark of this certain tree with this certain root or plant.
For the ayahuasca version, yeah.
Yeah, for the ayahuasca version of DMT. Like, there's a certain combination mixture there. So how do these people figure that out?
Somebody told them.
Somebody had to teach them.
That's what I said. And the Eye of Horus too, which is really interesting, which makes me really question what the hell they're actually doing over there in Nevada. And the Eye of Horus represents well-being and healing and protection. So if they are doing ritualistic stuff that is, I guess, nefarious, that's that the way to protect that site, you know, from, because, and it's very strange out there. I think we mentioned it in a couple weeks ago in a conversation with someone. We were talking about you know, even just the location of Area 51 being, I mean, obviously it's clearly there's like 17 incorporated towns in Nevada. The rest of them is like the hills have eyes. It is crazy, crazy place. And it's empty, especially, you know, if you're not in Vegas or you're not in Reno, there's not much going on. And with all the explosions that we've done there, it creates an attraction for could be something else, whether it be a portal or extraterrestrials or other dimensional beings. And you also have the City of Sin right next to it, which I've always found more recently fascinating, because if you're going to have a major metropolis right there, which Vegas is a major city, those people aren't paying attention to all the stuff that's going on right there. But the energy that's coming from Vegas, the lights, the ups, the downs, you know, the drug use, you know, everything that's, you know, happening, especially the, you know, you can drink on the street there. So, you know, alcohol is a complete downer, drop the energy down there. And it's a very interesting spot. I don't know if you guys have ever been out to Las Vegas, but mm-mm. I got really close to Area 51 in a car one time. And it's cool if you like video games, because you got like Fallout New Vegas. There's Good Springs is out there, and Prim, and you know, all those little places. But once you get close and you start to see the signs, you know, where it's, you know, this facility ahead, and then you get a couple miles in more, and then you start to see signs that say authorized for lethal force, and you're like, all right, I'm done. That's the end. That's the end of my trip here. And I'm excited for you guys to be doing more research in Area 51 than what we've gotten from 2 years ago, because there's definitely more information. I'm excited to hear that.
Yeah, Ryan is he's getting into these deep dives, man. Like he's going hard in the paint.
I got, I think, what did I say, 6 pages left. It's gonna be part two.
He took like 10 pages of notes. I haven't taken 10 pages of notes in the year that we've been doing this podcast.
God damn.
I just sit down and start spouting off. Like
there was too much
vomit. That's what I do.
There was too much information, man. You guys know the picture of Roswell where the guy's leaning down with the debris looking back at the general. Well, that guy's, he was Major Jesse Marcel, an intelligence officer. He also spilled some stuff on his deathbed as well. But it's believed mostly his son believes he took most of it to the grave. So, because he actually made the statement, I haven't told everything I know. But might not have been talking about that because, like I said, he was an intelligence officer. So he worked for a really long time with top secret material. So he might have just kept some shit to himself, you know, like he should have.
Hmm.
But,
you know, you were talking about just Nevada, Dave, and talking about, like, you know, the nuclear bomb testings and stuff that have been done out there, you know, all that different stuff. But if I'm not mistaken, didn't Crowley and Jack Parsons and L. Ron Hubbard and some of these guys, like, do some, like, the whole Babylon workings, didn't that take place somewhere pretty close to? If I'm not mistaken.
To that area, I haven't looked into that. Man, Mike would know that. Mike would know the answer to that. Let's phone a friend. No, I'm just kidding.
I might have to look this one up.
That's your final answer, sir.
Wake him up.
I guess, real quick, Bob Lazar, full of shit or not?
I don't know.
I'm more along the avenue of, there's a seed of truth in everything that comes out of that man's mouth. A seed. Now, how much fabrication is with that? I'm not sure. Because we know he has gotten big. He has made some financial gains from the stuff that he said and whatever. You know, I'm not ever going to, you know, so be it. I do believe there's a hint of truth in some of the things that he's saying, though, especially when it comes to a lot of the reverse engineering aspects of, I think we've seen just such a rapid rise in technology since the Roswell incident in 47 okay, think about 47. What technology was around? So you're going to tell me that in, 6 to 8,000 years, mankind, civilization just made these advancements to the point of, okay, hey, we got a telephone. We can pick up this line at the house and talk to somebody else. We've got automobiles that are starting to, you know, move around. They're getting pretty popular on the road. And then all of a sudden, in a 50, 60, 70 year time frame, we're doing this now. I'm checking to see when Babylon Working happened on my phone that I pulled out of my pocket, which the least used app on this thing is my actual phone app to call people. You see all the Neuralink. We're talking about Neuralink, man. We're talking about something that they put in a monkey's brain and it played Pong without touching anything.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, this goes back to what we were talking about with the information overload we have today. So just imagine that. In 47, they also had newspapers, all right? That's the first form of information that was got to you quickly as possible, right? So from newspaper, we're flooded with all this information there. That's when we made the turn. And then once again, I'd like to point out, just shy of 20 years later, some really cool drugs were discovered. And people, you know, were looking with that third eye and freaking, that's what I think. I think we just furthered humanity through that.
Yeah.
That could lend a huge hand to it, the opening of the collective consciousness. Look at Steve Jobs was like a huge hand in modern day technology development. And what was he doing during his college years? He was dropping acid. He was eating mushrooms. I mean, could be coincidence or it could be a huge, ginormous contributing factor that a bunch of people overlook.
Didn't the guy who created the mRNA vaccine, didn't he say he created it while he was on like acid?
Did he?
I have no idea, but I wouldn't be surprised.
What'd you say? Yeah. Sorry.
So you're talking about Robert Malone?
I think so.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was talking about when the the tech that came for the construction of the mRNA back, well, just the mRNA delivery of. I think he was on some form of trip.
Like LSD or acid. Yeah.
All kinds of people get stuff from these trips, man. These machine elves, they're in their ears. They're telling. Where's the Mojave Desert?
What? That's over there. That's Eastern California into Nevada.
Okay. The Mojave Desert spans four states, California, Nevada, Utah, and Arizona. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it goes into Nevada pretty decently. Babylon Working was a series of magic ceremonies and rituals performed from January to March 1946 by author, pioneer, rocket fuel scientist, and occultist Jack Parsons and Scientology founder L. Ron Hubbard. This ritual was essentially designed to manifest an individual incarnation of the archetypal divine feminine called Babylon. The project was based on the ideas of Aleister Crowley and his description of a similar project in his 1917 novel, Moonchild. So January to March of 46, you have Jack Parsons and L. Ron Hubbard performing sex magic. And literally what this ritual consisted of, well, they don't get into a lot of that, a lot of sex magic and trying to conceive a child that would be an elemental. It's a lot, dude. It's a whole lot of stuff.
Does that go into what? I don't want to get into the whole other stuff, but does that go into like the homunculus and all that other shit?
Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Yep. It gets into all that
whole episode.
Oh yeah. It's crazy, dude. You get into But the part that I was trying to go with there is just how interesting it is that you have, you know, this ritualistic sex magic of Babylon working going on in the same area that the nuclear testing starts going on. And in the same area that we have this crash a year later, just a year. So you're performing a ritualistic magic act to encounter and communicate with these other entities, literally invoking entities to come and speak with you and deliver things to you in the same area that a year and a half later we have a Roswell incident.
Well, this makes sense why aliens do so much anal probing. Because these two dudes were out in the desert doing sex magic, trying to make an elemental baby doing butt stuff.
Well, they had
you
they
can't
had
make a baby do butt stuff. I've already been over this. It's the poop hole loophole. You can't make a baby doing butt stuff.
Hey,
and now we're getting probed by aliens left and right because they summon these beings.
Okay, I should have clarified, Ryan. It wasn't just those two guys. They had chicks with them too.
It's a whole thing. It's a whole thing. Isn't that what Stephen Greer is doing though? Kind of like channeling, you know, to try to get these.
Is this a cult leader?
No, he's a ufologist.
He's a ufologist, big time.
He's a cult leader. There's so many cult leaders.
Oh my god!
I'm trying to be a cult leader. I think that'd be a good one.
We're aspiring.
Yeah, why not?
We're trying to get the Hush Hush Society cloaks.
Dude, yes. I ordered when we decided we were going to do video, I was like, dude, fuck it. I'm wearing a cloak. And I ordered I ordered like a cultist cloak off of wish.com for like 27 cents and it never came. I paid like $3 for shipping. I paid 27 cents for the cloak and it just never showed up. I still think it might, maybe like a year or two from now, and I'm going to be like, what the fuck is this?
It's going to be awesome.
Infant, your cat can wear it.
That would be awesome. My son's got a really super cool plague doctor costume. I might just start wearing it to sit down and record. Just have the big beat, except I got to talk like this to get close to my mic.
Bonk.
But no, dude, I think all this stuff is just, I don't know. It's so weird. It's extremely interesting. We've been all over the place. I love that we said we're just going to sit down here and let the conversation roll because we have literally, but here's the cool thing. We've literally just spun off of different topics and conversations and just bounced. But at the end of it, it's done that because it's all been connected in some way, shape, or form. I mean, you know, one topic has led right into another and led right into another. And I don't know, dude. I'm getting to this point and in my line of thinking that I believe that everything is real and nothing is real all at the same time. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but look at reality. Okay. Before, and this is an example, me and Ryan were talking about this the other day. Before Dave contacted me and I heard of your guys' show, and before Dave heard our show, we did not exist in each other's reality. We weren't real. We weren't real. In Dave and Frank's reality, Ryan and Justin did not exist until we did. Well, how did we come into existence? Well, we observed each other. Well, in whatever fashion that took, it wasn't until we observed the other person that they became part of our reality, right? So, you know, it goes into the whole thing. Like, you talk about faith and you talk about, you know, belief and you talk about all of these different things, and it all comes along with, you know, and you'll hear people say it all the time. If I don't see it, I don't believe it. That's the whole basis and nature of reality, right? I mean, I wouldn't believe the things that I believe if there hadn't been an experience, you know, a feeling, an emotion, and that's still observation. You know, observation is more than just seeing with your eyes. You can hear it. You can taste it. You can smell it. You can touch it. You can feel it. So it's like, and we were actually talking with the Sword and Staff guys a little bit about this, Ryan, how everybody has their own personal reality. And I think that's just such an interesting, it's such an interesting thought. Like, it's such an interesting ideology.
It's perception. It's just like every rainbow is different for each individual person, because there's no way you can stand in the exact same spot as the other person and see the way the light refracts through the water droplets. So every rainbow is unique to each individual person.
What, it's perception. Frank, you say, my red's not your red.
Yeah.
Dude, I way before the birth of the show, I was probably, I don't know, like 14. And I had like just recently discovered marijuana. This is when I like just first started dabbling with it. And I was blitzed out of my mind in my fucking bedroom, staring at the wall, just gone. My older brother walks in the room and he's looking at me like mad, as an older brother should be, that his 14-year-old brother is high. He's like mad looking at me. And I just looked at him with my mouth wide open and I went, what if my red isn't the same as your red? And he just like shut the door and left. And that was even like before I started getting into conspiracies and stuff. But yeah, no, you guys are right. It's all perception. It's all perception.
Yeah.
I liked how you put that, how we were not in each other's realities. I mean, realistically, I found you guys because I went through every podcast that talked about Flat Earth in our research that we were doing. And I was like, I literally just typed in Flat Earth and you guys were like the fourth one on the list. So I first three, fourth one, and just kept going down. And I was like, you know what? I like that episode a lot. Listened to a few more of your episodes. And I was like, we're going to collaborate with these guys. We're going to hit them up.
Because well, we appreciate it.
I really, really enjoyed that episode because not everybody, you were one of the shows that you didn't conform to the thought and being like, yeah, I believe all of what you're saying. And a lot of shows do that. And I think that's, like you said, that's an out of the box thinking, and actually having, like you said, these conversations are super important, and to not be taking dumps on each other about theories, you know? So yeah, that's good. Well, we're excited that you guys hit us back for sure.
Oh man, this has been, this has been a blast.
This has been great.
This is the most I've got to roll off in Justin's crazy corner in a while, man.
Gosh, I know. I didn't think it was gonna stop there for me. I'm just gonna mute myself and smoke.
Sorry, guys. Sometimes I can't help myself. I start rambling, and it's,
you know what? Again. As you were talking about that in the information highway, you know what it kind of made me think of? Just another step towards Mushroom Jesus. Is, think about it, in the way our information runs through all of our senses and how it flows, just like a mycelium network.
Talking about Bob.
Used by Mushroom Jesus. I'm just saying.
It's all mushrooms.
It's all mushrooms.
It's all mushrooms. And that's why mushrooms fungus. That's why they were the forbidden fruit.
Kids, they go great with peanut butter and fluff on white bread.
Oh no, eat them shits and hate it while you're chewing it.
That's the way I do it, bro.
Stringing through your Wonder Bread.
God, they stink so bad.
That's crazy, because the way Dave just talked about it is the only way that I tried it, and you and Frank are on the same page.
Yeah.
Dude, I've only not raw dogged them once, and it was in chocolate. And I did not like eating them in chocolate at all. I was like, damn, I wish these were just like straight mushrooms, eating it in chocolate. I almost feel like it affected the experience a little bit somehow.
Oh no.
Yeah.
I ate the wrong chocolate.
Yeah, dude. I ate the wrong chocolate.
See, your chocolate wasn't my chocolate.
Yeah.
Perfect. So ask for Hershey's and you motherfucker snuck in Nestle's. That's
snuck in Dove. Yeah. And this soap tastes disgusting.
This mushroom's so silky.
Silky smooth. No, man, this has been a blast. I just now looked down at the clock and realized we've been at this for like 2 hours. Now realized that is crazy.
Yeah, time has flown by.
I think we went into a time warp.
Those are the good ones where you go into a time warp.
Yeah, maybe we did enter. Now we have missing time.
We're all just stuck in the screen like from Superman.
Oh my God.
flying through space from now on.
Oh man. That's good. That is good. Well, guys, we're going to have to do this again because I feel like we got a lot more talking to do.
And, for sure.
We're definitely going to have to do this again. This has been
It's one of our upcoming powwows, man. We got to get these guys in on it.
For sure.
We like to bring a bunch of different dudes on and want, you know, different shows. And
what's like they were talking about with the round table that Mike's doing tonight. You know, that's something that we want to start getting into too, is getting into like, but we've been kind of waiting on, you know, like something big happens, just send out a mass invite. Let's talk about it. You know, I think that would be pretty cool.
If this one becomes with the format that we have on it, if it's successful and works out and we want to do another one, then we'll definitely have you guys on the next round on the round table.
For sure. Let us know. We will be there. Yeah. It'd be awesome. Absolutely. All right. So before we jump off here, this is what we do. Have y'all ever had any paranormal experiences, UFO sightings, cryptid sightings, any experiences out there to bring to the table?
Yo. I lived in an extremely haunted house for 2 years.
Really?
Really? Really. And I love when people call bull on it, because it made my life incredibly uncomfortable for 2 years. And living through something like that, like I can understand why it's hard for somebody to believe in the paranormal until they live through something like that. But yeah, I tried to be at that house as little as humanly possible. It was rough.
So what are some of the things that happened?
I'll try to breeze through it quick because 2 years of paranormal activity really adds up.
Obviously.
It started out pretty normally. Didn't notice anything supernatural during the first couple of months of us moving in. It started with it actually started rather aggressively. It didn't start with like footsteps or anything like that. It started with cabinet doors swinging open. So that was like the first of it. Right out the gate, like getting ready for school in the kitchen, like eating my waffles. I was in high school. And cabinet doors would swing open. And mind you, like everybody in the house experienced this shit, not just me. It was my mother. It was my mother's husband, my brother, my sister, my niece, like everybody. So it started with cabinet doors slamming open. I'm talking coffee cups, like in the morning. For some reason, it was super active early in the morning and late at night. Not so much during the middle of the day. Two times coffee cups full of coffee flew off of the countertop and shattered all over the floor.
Wow.
Let's see. Three times people woke up in the middle of the night not being able to breathe on the couch because a blanket had been tucked around them so tightly. It happened to two of my little brother's friends while they were there during a sleepover, and once to my mother's husband. My mom had something crawl into bed with her that had no physical body. She could feel like the imprints on the bed, like crawling into bed with her. I had something walk down the basement steps, even though there was nothing. I heard it open the door and walk down the basement steps, and it felt like it was like standing over me while I was trying to fall asleep. The freakiest was my niece, who was probably like 4 at the time, who lived with us. She viewed it differently because she was a young child. She had a different connection to whatever was going on. And she had a friend in the driveway. Now, before we had bought this house, it was owned by an old elderly couple. And I guess the husband had died in the driveway. He slipped on ice shoveling in the driveway, slipped on ice, broke his hip, died in the cold of the night.
Way to go.
So my niece's playroom was in the basement. And you know how basements have those weird little rectangle windows to the outside? So those faced right out into the driveway. And she would talk about her friend in the driveway, and everybody, like, you know, didn't really think anything of it. And then after she had brought it up maybe 3 or 4 times, my mother told me the story that this house was owned by people, and one of those people died in the driveway. I was like, okay, well, then it's super weird. She drew a picture of this friend in the driveway, and it was strangely detailed for a 4-year-old to have drawn. It incorporated a lot of different colors, and it was literally our driveway, our garage. She drew the moon. She drew in the sky purple, like it was nighttime. The face had no eyes, just big black spots. And in the top left corner of this piece of paper, she used a red crayon to write some sort of letters. It wasn't English, but it was characters of some sort of language. And she had etched over it multiple times to where the wax had like really caked up right there. It was probably 4 or 5 different characters, but nothing English, and it really freaked me out. I actually took the picture to one of my buddies' houses, and we were smoking a blunt, and I'm showing him that, and he's like, "Dude, you blunt." No, fuck no. He was like, "Dude, you got to get rid of that picture. Like that is not right. That thing is not right." And I actually stuffed it. I stuffed it down a sewer drain because I was like so terrified of this picture. My sister had like a 1-year-old at the time, and she was living down in the basement, and the 1-year-old would wake up every single night screaming and pointing at absolutely nothing. Dude, I could that is like a sliver, that is a fraction of like the shit that happened in this house.
Dude,
we have a
nuts.
Our first ever declassified discussions was originally that those interview formats were originally supposed to be basically Frank and I going and interviewing just other random friends and people. And it was originally supposed to be only on YouTube. And I believe the first 3 are still on YouTube, but the first one ever is Frank and I. And he talks a little bit, a couple different stories from either that house and another apartment as well. So if anybody's listening, head to our YouTube and find the one with lots of frights.
I'm gonna go check that out myself. Yeah. Man, that's awesome. Dave, you got anything?
I would say I definitely would love to talk about the UFO stuff. It seems far-fetched because I was young. I was a little kid, and I'll try to make it as quick as possible too. But we lived on top of a hill in the middle of a small town next to a dairy farm, cornfields. So we had a pretty good 360 degree view of the surrounding area. And the addition that my parents had built was a large, you know, very large bedroom with a bunch of windows facing out, and it was facing west. And I remember being, must have been like 5, 6, something like that. I was young enough to get freaked out sleeping in my own bed, went in my parents' bed because that house had skylight windows above our bedrooms, which is horrific. Don't ever do that to your children. It's terrible, terrible architecture for kids and getting into that. But I remember waking up and finding myself sitting up, and my mom was sleeping. My dad was probably downstairs. It was super early in the morning, and seeing something, and I could draw it. It was like a
a square or like a rectangle with another rectangle on top and another rectangle on the bottom. And it almost had that pattern of lights from Close Encounters, where it was very like, you know, stroby back and forth. And I couldn't tell you how close it was or how big it was. It could have been the size of a car, could have been the size of a skateboard and really close, but it could have been big and really far away. But I remember just watching it for like 5 minutes. And then I don't remember falling back asleep. There was one thing that really happened to me. And then later in life, in my early 20s in Connecticut as well, I definitely saw the TR3B. I would say that's convinced of seeing it. It went right over my car, ex-girlfriend throwing up because her anxiety was going through. What the hell is that? And I'm sitting here. I had just read Transformation by Whitley Strieber. And I'm like, oh my God, like that's awesome. And I was stoked. It blotted out the sky. You know, it was winter, so there's no leaves. And you could see the stars, but you couldn't see it there. It went over me. I was going home, called my friend. And I was like, dude, you got to look outside. And because you could see this line, black line, all the light pollution from Hartford was behind it. But you could see it. It was just floating. And then the lights popped on. And then it just kind of went away. And I saw that twice in 2 years, all around the same time that my drummer at the time was losing time. He was a night owl anyways, so he would hang out all night, do promotion, you know, just whatever he did. And he lost track of time within the same set of time that we saw these crafts. And I don't know if we were just all experiencing something at once, because it's something we talked about a lot at band practice after it happened. But he would lose time, and then for years and years, while he was been on tour, sleeping in a van, he would feel somebody with their hand over his face and holding him down. And as he wakes up, it's almost like you described, no, like Frankie described, black, like just black eyes and a black shadow standing over him. And that's something that we were gonna mess with him really bad and buy like those big alien gloves and go into his room but we decided not to do it. But he lives in Los Angeles now, and he still has those night terrors where he'll wake up and he's awake, but something's standing over him, holding him down, big, long fingers, and he can feel it. And he doesn't talk about it too much. I wrote about it. This was in like 2009. And I wrote about it to a guy in Philly who was like a ufologist. And he's like, I got to meet your friend. Like, and my friend still doesn't know that I did that, but yeah. But yeah, that. And then I have a bunch of very strange, not as strange as Frank's paranormal stuff, but a lot of dark figures. My dad's house that I grew up in, also one of the elderly couples that owned it before had died in the house. And one of my friends, really close friends, used to stay over, and he sat up one night and just pointed at me and started screaming. Woke me dead up out of sleep. I sat up and I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's just in a trance, pointing at the foot of my bed. The next morning, talked to him about it. And still to this day, he says, there was something, the scariest thing I've ever seen in my life, sitting at the foot of the bed, staring at you. But it was staring at me everywhere I went. Its head was moving with me. And I told that story to my brother, because he was staying in my brother's bed, because he wouldn't, you know, he'd be there every other weekend staying with us. And my brother has the same story. So that one's weird. My brother said I could draw it for you, but it would ruin my life. That's what he tells
Holy
me.
Crap.
Yeah.
Dude, that gave me shit.
That gave me chills. Just the looking at, no matter where you went, just look that.
He said it was almost terrifying. Like when you're drawing like a rough sketch and like it's just warbling this way, like the face would move with it and the face would move that way. But he couldn't tell any defined. But I've never personally had anything in that house.
Hmm. Wow. Yeah,
it was just other people. Maybe it's me. Just other people around me.
It's possible. It's possible.
Yeah. Love the paranormal stuff.
Wow. That is so interesting, man. It's terrifying, but it's interesting. All those accounts. Dude, that's...
Man.
Now I'm going to see a shadow person tonight. It's going to happen. Great.
Yeah, let's hope not. I hope not. You know, and I'm starting to get, Ryan, I know we've talked, you know, a little bit about shadow people and all this and that, but I'm starting I'm starting to feel like these shadow people encounters are more extraterrestrial, interdimensional than just like
I want to lean toward interdimensional. I think that's why nobody can ever tell any physical fixtures, you know, because maybe it's just a ripple and they're trying to figure out what they're seeing too.
Could be. Yeah, we've talked about that a lot.
Well, the more that I hear these shadow people stories, the more that I hear them connected with UFO encounters. And like the whole sleep paralysis thing, you know, I heard somebody say the other day, the only time that anybody really knows that they're missing time is during the day, because you're awake, you're alert. You know, okay, it's this time right now. I have somewhere to be. I'm supposed to be there at this time. You know, whatever. I got to get to work. I got kids to pick up. I've got whatever's going on. Well, at night, when you close your eyes and you go to sleep, you're expecting to miss time. You know, we've all had those nights where you close your eyes, you go to sleep, and then it feels like as soon as you went to sleep, the alarm went off. You're like, God, what happened? We've all had those nights. Well, what if during this expected missing time, you really are missing time? You know, what if a lot of these sleep paralysis encounters are really maybe abductions, maybe, you know, people, extraterrestrial activity, something going on that, you know, we don't know. It's, I don't know. It's interesting, man. It really is.
Just started 7 different episodes all in one.
I know, dude. I'm terrible.
It's good. It's all
I'm terrible at closing out. It just means we got more to talk about.
The worst closers. He may be really good at introductions, but we are the worst closers in podcast history.
For sure. That's no lie.
What happens with us is we'll just be talking. Like Frank and I could be talking, bantering at the end of an episode, and the mic goes, "Well, that's the end of this one," and just cuts us right off. So that's how we usually close things out. Or, you know, we'll be talking after a recording and all of a sudden he'll just disappear. So we know that that's the cue that it's over.
Hey, it's time to go, everybody. Time to go. But I guess speaking of time to go, since we, even though we are terrible closers, we'll go ahead and close this thing out. Dave, Frank, it was awesome you guys being on here. It was a fantastic conversation. Before we jump off here again, let the Hill folk know where they can find you, promote your stuff, make them excited to go check you out.
Well, Hill folk, you can find Declassified Dave, Mystery Mike, and myself at hushhushsociety.com. There, it is very easy to access anything and everything pertaining to us. You can find our audio episodes. You can find the link to the video episodes. You can find the links to the people that we've interviewed, shit like that. Again, you can expect to hear conspiracy, cults, paranormal, UFO, interviews with authors and TV personalities, things of that nature. We try to keep it light, keep it goofy and interactive. So by all means, feel free to swing by. And guys, we totally appreciate the hospitality. You guys have been awesome. Love your show. You dudes are funny. Keep the conversation going nice and light, nice and smooth, free flow. I mess with it. Yeah.
Silky. Like
thank you. And thank you guys for coming on, man. This was awesome. Oh,
very fun.
Thank you.
Silky. Like Dove soap. The Dove chocolate does taste way better than the soap.
It does.
For sure. I'll give them that. I don't know if it's the same brand or not, but I hope so.
Same corporations. They run everything.
Yeah.
But no, again, thanks. I mean, we're glad to have you guys. Hill folk, remember, go wherever you listen to podcasts, leave a rating and review for the show. Subscribe to our YouTube. Send us your stories at AppalachianIntelligence@gmail.com. Most importantly, more than anything, share the show. Share it however you're most comfortable sharing it. Text it to everybody on your contacts list. Send out mass company emails, whether you get in trouble for it or not. take down the Hollywood sign and put up an Appalachian Intelligence sign. Whatever you got to do to spread the show, spread it. Buy a billboard. That's one of my favorites. Just do something. Do something to get the word out, because that's the only way this show grows. It is growing, and it's because of you guys. So we appreciate that. We love y'all. And until next time, we'll see y'all later.